You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 330, and this is our Michigan State preview podcast episode.
Are you feeling more confident about this game, Ruben, or are you still unsure about it?
I'm still unsure. This is one of the games, one of the three games that I expect Notre Dame to lose two of, Michigan State, Stanford, and USC. And I know fans were pretty optimistic about it. I am surprised at the spread, 8-point spread versus the Texas game. But I think this is going to be a tight game.
The crazy thing is the spread, or the points at least, have been, I guess Texas, it was obvious, it was a 3-point spread. Obviously, it was the wrong team. But then they covered the spread last week against
Nevada,
and by 1 point. And so hopefully they're right this week. Maybe we'll go win by 9 instead of 8. I kind of like the...
I did tweet out a poll asking if Notre Dame covers the 8-point spread, and there was three options. Yes, the Irish win big. No, but the Irish win. Or no, Michigan State wins. And it was 35%. Yes, the Irish win big. 64% no, but the Irish win. And 1% Michigan State wins. And I am in the majority there. I agree. Notre Dame will win, but I do not think they'll cover the 8-point spread. There's too many things that worries me about this Michigan State offense. And even though they have a lot of new guys from their defense, there's still a lot to overcome for the Irish. So let's get started. Their quarterback is a first-year starter. However, this isn't the first game he's started. He actually started against Ohio State, and they won that game. It wasn't pretty as far as his numbers go, but they did win that game. So he has big-time game experience.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to be quite as easy as we think. He's used to big games. Michigan State, you know, has played in quite a few big games the last couple years, going to the playoffs, and even with his win over Ohio State, I think that was, you know, that's probably the highlight of his career right now. And so I don't think he probably thinks Notre Dame is a little bit lower than what that game was, just because the Ohio State is a rival, or bigger rival than Notre Dame, and I'm sure that boosted his confidence. And so far, he's undefeated.
I was listening to a podcast covering Michigan State, and he talked about the podcast was about the overview of the season, and the big game for the players is that in-game rivalry with Michigan, especially for so long. Michigan had been the big brother, and I think a Michigan running back referred to Michigan State as their little brother.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It was a while ago, probably 6 years ago, but lately Michigan State is the team that's really been the dominant team from Michigan. But it's still a game. Michigan is rated higher right now, ranked higher than Michigan State. But that's the game that they were looking forward to the most. But of course, they are looking forward to this game as well. The last time Notre Dame and Michigan played, there was a ton of pass interference penalties called. I don't remember exactly how many. Notre Dame did come away with the win. It was close. I thought they threw the flag too many times. I thought the refereeing was definitely leaning in Notre Dame's favor.
The problem is, I saw an article somewhere that said that the coach,
D'Antoni
remembers that and was keeping track of the penalties, it's very clear in his mind, very fresh in his mind. And I know we talked about it the last time Michigan State played Notre Dame, but there's always this thing, you know, how much of a rivalry is it between D'Antoni and Brian Kelly? Because D'Antoni was a coach at Cincinnati when he left, take the Michigan State job. Brian Kelly came in and took his place. And D'Antoni thinks that Brian Kelly gets a lot of the credit that he should maybe deserve for, you know, he kind of built the team, and then Brian Kelly came in and took a lot of the credit for his work. And I think there were some comments made as well about how they, even this week's press conference, Brian Kelly said, you know, he was asked about some of the players that were there. And I forget, now I forget his exact wording, but basically he came in and he got him turned around, headed the right direction. So there is a little, I think there is a little bit of tension, or there's a little bit of a rivalry there.
Notre Dame isn't going to get destroyed just by Tyler O'Connor's quarterback play. However, as an offense, they will be able to move the ball. They use a fullback heavily, not heavily as a runner, but they use them heavily in the formations as a run blocker and as in pass protection as well.
Yeah, they use him quite a bit, but he never, like in the game against Furman, he didn't actually record a carry in that game, even though he's on the field quite a bit. I'm not sure how many snaps. It'd be interesting to see how many snaps he played. It was quite a few, but he never recorded a carry. And usually you would imagine, I mean, you would think he would get at least one or two.
And I was also surprised how many times they spread the field with maybe just one back and one tight end. They do that as well. They're not always in a two-back, one tight end, or one back, two tight end set. They obviously do that a lot as well. And their tight ends are a big part of their passing game. They've caught a significant number of touchdowns over the years.
And the tight end, Josh Price, is a senior. He has 66 career catches. I know last year he was kind of working through an injury all year. I don't know how much he actually played. I think he was out for quite a few games. But he's healthy and ready to go this year. And he's one guy that O'Connor has a lot of trust in. I mean, he's a senior. He's been there for a while, and he knows he can catch the ball. So I think he'll be a big part of this game. Did you watch the Furman game at all?
Not all of it, part of it.
I watched some of it, and I was too tired, and the game was very boring, so I kept dozing off every once in a while. But they ran, on the first drive, they ran the ball every play except one. And that was a completed pass. I think it was a short pass, but they just marched down the fields and scored. But the one thing that gives me a little hope is that they didn't, Furman made adjustments and they slowed him down. The running game, it looked like they were going to gash him with the running game, just long run after long run, but they did slow him down. But they have the three running backs coming back that they had last year. And I don't know what they call it, you know, the three-headed monster, but the leading rusher from last year had 699 yards. So I don't know if that's that impressive. But he is back. LJ Scott is his name. He's a primary back in game one.
And the other guys didn't carry for that many yards or that many times. He had 20 carries. I believe the next closest had 5 carries.
Yeah, the other two guys would be Madre London. He would have 5. And then Gerald Holmes.
They do use a jet sweep quite a bit. And sometimes it's just a... they just fake it, but they'll probably hand it off on the jet sweep probably 4 or 5 times during the game, and that's one area where they could get around the corner and hit Notre Dame for some big yards.
They had 8 guys that recorded at least one rush, which that includes some of the receivers because they give some of those jet sweeps and stuff as rushing yards, but they had 8 different guys with at least one rush.
All right. Looking at the game against Furman, Michigan State only scored 28 points. They gave up 13. But they scored a touchdown on their opening drive, punted on their second drive, missed a field goal on the third, and then punted twice and then scored another touchdown at the end of the half. In the second half, they fumbled on their first carry, then they scored a touchdown, then they had an interception, and then they scored a touchdown again. So this offense, when they don't turn the ball over, they can move the ball and they can score. And most of the times when they did have to punt, it was only a few plays. It wasn't like they were had eight play drives and then punted. Usually it was a three and out or four plays and then a punt. So if this offense, if we can stop them, you know, get a three and out, I feel really good about Notre Dame's chances. But once they get rolling, the longer the drives go, if they convert a couple first downs,
the bigger the chance of a fumble. But they did. Their scoring is a touchdown each quarter. That's what they average. I mean, they had 7 points each of the quarters. So in the end, it looks pretty consistent. But it didn't really. When you're watching the game, it doesn't seem like that.
Yeah. And Michigan State, I'm not concerned that they're going to score 40 points on Notre Dame. But their defense is solid. I know they lost a lot of guys up front. But just looking at their defense from the past few years, and D'Antonio was there in 07, and I know they had Pat Narduzzi there. I believe he was still a defensive coordinator in 2014.
Yes.
But since since Mark D'Antonio was there in 07, they ranked 46, and this is from the Football Outsiders, their FEI ratings on defense. They were 46th in 2008, 29th in 2009, 69th, 2010, 40th in 11, they were 8th in 2012, they were 5th in 2013, they were 2nd in 2014, they were 31st, and last year they were 18th. So they're not consistently a top 10 defense. However, they are consistently a top 25 defense. And in fact, out of the past 5 years, they've been a top 20 defense.
So what do you say when they allow Furman to score 13 and Notre Dame holds Nevada to 10?
I didn't look at the field position, but when you fumble on your first carry, I'm assuming that was probably pretty close to Furman's to the end zone. I could look it up. Let me just look it up real quick. It was the first play of the second half. Oh, they didn't. They missed a field goal. Oh, they did. They did get a field goal. So Michigan State fumbled, and then 29 yards later, Furman kicked a field goal. All right, we're not going to give our score predictions in this podcast, but we will be kind of giving our how we think this game's going to go, what Michigan State is going to try to do, what Notre Dame has to do, and this Michigan State offense will they'll try to run up the middle, but they'll also bounce it to the outside. And even I think our interior defense, I've been pretty confident in them. We've got Niles Morgan there to help solidify the interior, but I'm still worried about that exterior, those exterior runs. And I think the big difference maker potentially could be Jay Hayes. I think he's going to be incredibly valuable in this game. How well can he play? How can he blow up some plays? I think he's a huge key to Notre Dame holding this rushing attack in check.
Yeah, they definitely need to have him back this week, which he is planning to play. But I expect them to look pretty good. I mean, even better than what last week was.
Notre Dame's defense.
Now, you don't, getting back, I you mean, don't think they'll the look addition of
with Jay Hayes.
Yeah.
But you don't think they'll look good to the tune of, well, we gave up 10 to Nevada, we'll give up 10 to Michigan State.
You want me to give my score prediction?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess if you know what it is. I don't know what mine is yet.
No, I think they'll give up more than 10 points. But I think this is a good match. It's definitely leaning in Notre Dame's favor. This isn't as high-powered of an offense as what Michigan State's had before. So,
and then Notre Dame offensively, pretty much, I mean, it's a fine old oiled machine at this point. We get Torrey Hunter back.
I wouldn't call it a fine oiled machine yet.
Where do you think Michigan State is going to have success against Notre Dame, or where do you think Notre Dame is going to struggle in Notre Dame's offense?
Well, we keep seeing these slow starts from the offense.
Slow starts! We scored on the opening drive of the first two games.
Not in Nevada.
Oh, sorry. We moved the ball. You're right, we didn't score, but at least we moved the ball on the opening drive, and we scored a touchdown in the opening game against...
Well, there was a lot of penalties in the first couple drives at Notre Dame, and that cannot happen against Michigan State. And it was it's stuff that can be fixed, that I think can be fixed. You know, it's just mental stuff. The guys, you know, if they got after the guys this week, they'll be thinking about it, and I think it's something you can fix fairly quickly. But I think that I can almost see Notre Dame hurting themselves with some of these pathetic penalties.
Well, one thing I noticed in the Ohio State-Michigan State game, Michigan State drew the Ohio State defense offsides multiple times and was able to either get a free play or get a free 5 yards. And even though it's going to be it's at Notre Dame, I still could see that that possibly be an issue. I didn't notice it. I don't know if Michigan State is does well at that, at drawing defenses offsides, but I just noticed it. I was starting to rewatch part of the Ohio State and Michigan State game.
Well, the defensive line, their defensive line is pretty inexperienced. That now, the tackle, the nose tackle, is not inexperienced at all. He's the star of the team. He's a potential first round pick. McDowell, he's on a couple watch lists, different watch lists. I mean, he's the star of the team. That's gonna they need to stop him. But they did lose their both their defensive ends. So the defensive line is pretty inexperienced. As far as the linebackers, they have very experienced linebackers. They're fifth, sixth year seniors. And, I think it'll be a little harder made for this defensive line to draw Notre Dame offsides, just cause they're not as experienced as what they were last year.
One area I think Notre Dame could struggle against running the ball, but I think our pass protection has been really solid. I think our offensive line is going to do well in that, and then I think it'll just open up some shots downfield, maybe some screen passes to C.J. Sanders. So I'm not concerned about our offense. I think Notre Dame will put up 30 points on just about anyone.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they're going to put up points, but I do not want them to be playing from behind. They need to do it right away, not have these mistakes in the beginning, so that they're not playing from behind, because that changes everything. Like I've said before, it puts so much more pressure on the defense, and we just do not want to be in that situation. That's why I think they need to clean this offensive machine. They need to get take care of some of the squeaks.
Do you remember in years past when Notre Dame
could barely score...
You know, they struggled to score 25 points a game.
2012?
Yeah.
Yes. I remember that. I'm not saying it's as bad as it gets. I'm just saying it could still improve.
Well, of course, yeah, of course it could improve.
But you think they got off to a fast start against Nevada?
Well, they didn't score at all in the first quarter. It is true. But the first drive, they were moving the ball. Did they have a three and out after that? I'm not sure if they did or not. But it wasn't like it was three and out punt, three and out punt, three and out punts.
True. But it doesn't matter how long the drives are if you don't have any points at the end of it.
Also true. Okay, let's go through each position group and pick out a player that we're going to be watching closely in this matchup against Michigan State. Let's start with the defense. Defensive line, like I mentioned, I think one of the biggest keys for this game is Jay Hayes. Now, he's not listed as a starter. Andrew Trimbetti is still listed as the starter. But Jay Hayes is the guy I'm going to be watching for because I think they need him to slow down the rushing attack. What about you from the defensive line?
Yeah, well, I'd have to go with Jay Hayes just because I think he's going to be the guy that needs to be there, needs to make a difference.
And then at the linebacker, Tavon Coney. Actually, no, I'm going to change that. James Onuwalu. We've seen him play. He's played very hard. We've seen him record some tackles for loss. This is going to be against better tight ends than we've seen. This is going to be against better running back than we saw against Nevada. And I'm just hoping, going to be watching him, hoping he can pick up a couple tackles for loss. He also missed a huge tackle for loss against Nevada. And so just looking for consistency from him and seeing what he can do in the backfield. Or behind, yeah, behind the line of scrimmage.
I'm going to be watching Coney just because he had a good game last week, but even Brian Kelly mentioned he missed some tackles or some things he needs to clean up. And so the good, even though he had a good week last week, there's still a lot of things he can get better at. And I think he'll continue to improve game by game, and where you can actually see a difference. I think he's going to make a big jump this week. He got that first start under his belt, and now he can show what he's got against a good top-ranked team.
And then from the cornerbacks, I'll be looking at Nick Coleman. I noticed a huge improvement. I think Brian Kelly even mentioned this in his press conference, a big improvement from Texas to Nevada. And I don't even need to see that big of a jump. I don't expect to see that big of a jump from Nevada to Michigan State, because I thought it looked really solid. So just keeping an eye on him. Does he stay with the receivers? Is he able to help out in some tackling on the running backs if it's a running play, like we've seen Cole Luke do? So from the cornerbacks, I'm going to be keeping an eye on Nick Coleman.
I'm going to be watching that nickel player, Julian Love, just to see. I mean, another true freshman trying to fill some big shoes. And how much will they use that nickel package? Because last year, you know, obviously Crawford went down before the season started, then Farley, you know, was supposed to be that nickel guy, but a lot of times they didn't even play nickel because they said they didn't have the personnel.
Well, for them
to actually be using it with a true freshman has to say something about Love.
And Michigan State isn't just this power running team. They will spread it out sometimes and have some three wide, maybe even four wide. So we definitely will see Love out there. All right, and then from the safeties, I'm gonna take Drew Tranquil. Again, and another guy like Nick Coleman, I thought he made some nice improvements from week one to week two. So this is going to be a game where he'll need to help in the running game, but he can't get burned on play action. And I think that's probably what is most concerning this week is having the safeties, and I think Drew Tranquil is probably more susceptible to that. Will he bite on that play action? And then if he's on a tight end, will he be able to handle himself in coverage, because they're going to use those tight ends? So is he going to be able to either force a bad pass or not a bad pass, but force O'Connor to make a bad decision with the football?
Yeah, I agree. I'd go with Tranquil on that. Just the note, they did activate Spencer Perry to add more depth to the safety position. Another true freshman coming over from the scout team that'll help out. And Brian Kelly also mentioned that Nico Fertitta has been getting more reps, or is putting more situations. And I think it worked out pretty good last week with Tranquil and then Sebastian backing him up and kind of switching in and out. Let's see if they can improve even more this week.
Quarterback. So I'm just expecting to see one quarterback out there. However, do you think Malik Zaire will see him in this game, assuming it's not a blowout like Nevada?
No, I don't expect him to see him in this game.
Okay. All right, running backs. Josh Adams, Folston, and Dexter Williams, who isn't on the two deep, but we did see a heavy dose of him. And I'm going to be watching, I guess not specific player, but I'm just curious how soon Dexter gets involved. We didn't see him at all until late in the game last week. And so I'm curious. He looked really impressive. He really did. I mean, Josh Adams looks like a stud too, so I don't think he'll be taking carries away from Josh Adams, but I'm just curious how soon will we start seeing him in this rotation. I think Josh Adams needs to get a big majority of the carries against a team like Michigan State, because this is going to be a tough team, and any chance there is to break a tackle, to get some extra yards, some explosive plays, we need all that we can get. So yeah, Dexter Williams is the guy I'm going to kind of be watching for. I don't expect to see him, you know, early on in the first quarter, but I'm hoping we'll see him maybe later in the second half or later in the first half.
I actually don't expect to see him just because, I mean, he's obviously a good runner. We saw that. But I think we talked about in the last podcast with Matt, I mean, his issue is still, you know, knowing the offense good enough that when Kaiser changes the play, if there's a change made, he can't.
Well,
he's
we
not
don't,
quite at the point.
We don't
where
know
he
that.
Can,
we don't know that for a fact. That's just speculation.
I know, but I'm saying he's not at that point yet.
Well, that'll let us know. I mean, if we see him, in the first half, I think that's a sign that
he
is
would have already
up.
Seen him if he would if he could do that.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, as much as you guys think that Folsom is so terrible, if he's that terrible, then Dexter should be getting those carries. But there's a reason he's not getting them.
I agree there is a reason. And if we don't see him, if the game's very close and we don't see him in critical downs, then I agree it must be because he's not able to pick up on the adjustments from protection.
I would want to see what he can do against you know, getting more carries early in the game. But I think it'll still be Adams and Folston. Who knows how those carries, you know, how many each one will get. I expect Adams maybe get a few more than what Folston is or what he has before. But it's going to be those two guys. Because Dexter, everybody's so excited about him, but it was the end of the game against a worn down defense. You have to remember that too.
Assuming Notre Dame runs the ball 35 times.
How much did they run against Nevada?
Maybe like 45.
Okay. Well, finish. I'll look it up.
How many carries do you think Josh Adams will get, regardless of how many Dexter or Tarian get? Because I think Josh Adams is going to get 65-70% of the carries against Michigan State.
I'm slow at this, that's why. Josh Adams had 10 carries last week. Folston, he had
Folston
10
had
as well.
10, yeah, and then Dexter had 8, but it was all in the second half.
I'm going to say that Adams, Adams, if there's 35...
And
he gets
let's clarify this. Out of the no quarterback rushes included in this. If there's 35 rushes by running backs,
okay.
I think Dexter will get.
There was 28 last week by those three.
28.
There was 46 team rushes.
Should we just go with 30 for an easier number?
Sure, but okay. Go with 35 because I think Adams will get 15, Folston will get 12, and then. I'll say Dexter comes in at the end and gets 3.
Hold it. So yeah, I think it's going to be more like 18 carries for Josh Adams. 18 and maybe 8 for 8 for Folston and 8 or 9 for Dexter.
I'll once again be accused of not giving up on Folston and being in denial.
All right, wide receivers. We've got Torrey Hunter back. CJ and Equanimeous have established themselves, and true freshman Kevin Stefferson, he still doesn't, he's not to the level. He doesn't look like CJ or Equanimeous do, just from physical presence type of standpoint. But definitely, he's also, I think, one of those top four in that list of top four. So we've got Torrey Hunter back. I guess I'm going to be watching Torrey Hunter. I had that big hit against Texas. Is he able to come back and play as if he's the same guy?
Yeah, I think he will, and I'm actually going to go with EQ because he did great last week. He was without Hunter there. He was obviously the number one receiver out there. I think he can make even more of an impact being the number two guy with more attention focused on Hunter, and I think EQ is going to have a big game.
And then our tight ends.
We have tight ends on the team?
Yeah, unlike Notre Dame, Michigan State does use their tight ends heavily. Jerm Smythe, Nick Wisher. I don't know.
Here's a question
for you. If they throw the ball at them, I'll just be watching for either one of them.
Let's say one. I'm going to say one of them catches a pass this week.
I think
it's going to be Smythe.
Yeah, if someone catches the ball, it's going to be him. I think I'd say, yeah, there's probably a chance that one of those guys will catch a ball. But if you tell me three passes, no. There's no way the combined group is getting three.
No,
but
I would
I would go with one.
So, question, at what point does the tight end U phrase take a hit at Notre Dame? Or has it already?
Nationally, no. Because the only time people notice Notre Dame's tight ends is when the draft comes around and, oh, there's another Notre Dame's tight ends, or when they see they're watching NFL games and the starting tight end for so-and-so is from Notre Dame. It will not be tarnished. Alize Jones will come back next year, and the reputation, it will be another few years until we have one in the NFL. But then, I don't think our reputation will be tarnished.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's still tight end you. It's just a down year.
Our offensive line. Again, very solid, competent against the pass protection. Maybe not quite as dominant in running as some fans would have seen. I don't think it's been too bad. Any player in particular, Randall, that you're going to be looking out for?
Well, the center of the guards are going to have to be watching out for McDowell big time. So I'd say Mustafer has been doing pretty good. I'm going to be watching McGovern just to see if he can hold up against, you know, a first round draft pick, what he can do. It's going to be, you know, he's been doing good, but he's had some moments where he didn't look good at all, but this will be a good test for him, so I'll be watching him.
Do you remember, was Notre Dame under center against Texas at all? Against Nevada, they were under center twice.
I can't tell you offhand.
All right, I was just going to... I couldn't remember if they were against Texas or not. I was going to...
Kizer's about the only guy they do it with, and we hadn't really... Notre Dame didn't really do that before Kizer came along. It had been a long time before...
Since Kelly's been there.
Yeah.
All right, so we've gone through each of the different position groups, different guys we're going to be watching for. And then tomorrow, we'll have... Yeah.
We should, since they give out the game ball at the end of the week, do you have a player that you think is going to get the game ball? Sorry, it's kind of a short notice there.
If Notre Dame wins big, I think it's going to be because of the defense. I don't think we'll win big because we score 40 points. I think we'll win big because we hold the defense to just a few touchdowns. So I'm going to pick someone on defense. And I'm going to pick someone who is a newcomer to this team, but I think someone that could make a difference. Our middle linebacker, Niles Morgan. They're going to be coming up the middle, around the edge, and he'll be in the middle of it all. So if someone can make a big difference, I think it's going to be Niles Morgan.
I like that pick. I would definitely like to see him getting a game ball just because that means he'd have a huge game. I'm going to go with the offensive player. I'm going with EQ. Yeah, I guess the other question would be who's going to be wearing the number one jersey.
So far it's been a captain.
Yeah. And they're voting on this. Are they each going to get a turn wearing it?
I don't know, but did you see Cole Luke's interview? He was asked when he found out he was going to be wearing it. And originally I thought the captains presented nominate someone, and then either Brian Kelly or some of the coaches decide if, yeah, that's what we'll go with. But it sounded like he didn't know that he would be an option. So maybe they submit several names. Just because it's been older guys so far, we've had two captains. I don't think it'll be a quarterback, just because kind of that tension between Malik and Deshaun. And these are I'm still assuming that these are nominated from those four captains. Who was it in week one?
Anawalu.
I think it'll be Torrey Hunter.
I could see that. I think it's going to be a guy on offense. I think it's about time somebody on offense has one. I'm almost going to say it's one of the captains on offense, either Hunter or McClinchy, which McClinchy wouldn't be allowed to wear it.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you and say Hunter just because he had to go through a lot last week, didn't get to play. He had to work. I mean, he just had a different routine, and I think people noticed that, and I think he'll be wearing it.
All right, there was one other question I was going to ask you, and I forget.
One thing I will point out, because you had mentioned, I kind of forgot about it, but you mentioned all the pass interference calls.
Yeah.
Even against Furman, Michigan State, the one cornerback, Darren Hicks, actually had two pass interference calls against him. And I think they were both in the first half of the game. So they are still, I don't know if it's how they're coaching, but that is still something that they, I don't know how they've been in between there, but that's what we remember from the last time they played Notre Dame. So let's see if they can pick up a couple more. Maybe they'll get frustrated. Because Notre Dame does have some fast receivers, and that's a lot of times that's what happens. The cornerback's getting beat.
Do you think we'll see any offensive pass interference plays?
Just because of how it went.
I'm gonna go with, I think we'll see one.
No, I don't think we will.
All right, I do want to mention Fan Essentials. Great way to get sports paraphernalia. I signed up for the Pacers, and I got a T-shirt, a flag, a keychain, and now I'm spacing. Was it some stickers?
I think that's what it usually is.
So it's basically Fan Essentials is a fan box from your favorite sports team. You just go into their website, fanessentials.net, and you can pick out your size, if you're a small, medium, large, or extra large, and you pick out your favorite team. They've got teams from the NBA, from baseball, the NFL. They don't have a lot of college teams yet, but I've heard that's something they're working on. And if you use our promo code, Irish Sports Talk, you get 15% discount, and that includes free shipping. So head on over to fanessentials.net and show your sports fan pride for this upcoming football season, or the NBA is about to begin. So check it out, fanessentials.net. Use promo code Irish Sports Talk. All right. Anything else, Randall, before we wrap this up?
Yes. Tyler Newsom better be in contention for the game ball.
That's right. We didn't talk about special teams.
I don't have too much on the special teams, but Tyler Newsom needs to do better at the punting. I mean, after seeing what he did last year, I'm expecting a lot more. You see glimpses of it on some of his punts, but he's been very inconsistent. And it's going to matter. They're going to need those long punts against this. Well, hopefully they're not punting too much, but they will be punting, and he needs to take advantage of it.
I don't remember being too disappointed against Nevada.
He did. His first one, he started where he left off the week before. He averaged 44.8, had a long of 53. So it was better, but he can't be making any of those mistakes. Brian Kelly mentioned this week that Yoon won the job for the kickoffs because of his accuracy, ball placement, and it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, and that's one area where the special teams has been great, has been in both kicking off and in kickoff returns and punt returns. Definitely see some positives there.
And Brian Kelly threw out a stat as well. I don't know how accurate it is. I'm guessing if he said it, Birch probably gave it to him, did the research for him. But he said on their kickoffs, you know, they're either touchbacks or they've held them inside the 20. And he says that if they're inside the 20, there's an 83% chance the other team doesn't score.
Okay, was he talking about Notre Dame specific, not college football in general?
No, I think he was talking about Notre Dame. Because there were some short kicks against Texas. Well, they would have still been inside the 20.
Are you sure? I'm not so sure there was that many inside the 20.
I'm talking about kickoffs.
Oh, kickoffs. Okay.
Not the punting.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the kickoffs.
Okay.
So they've been doing good at that.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of interesting stat, 83%. So
we'll need it this week. All right. So tune in tomorrow for another episode. We'll be doing looking at Notre Dame's opponents, who they're playing, who they played last week. And then after that, we'll be giving our score predictions for the game against Michigan State. So check back again, and until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.